Hello and welcome to After the Sermon. This is a Bethany podcast where we have the privilege of digging deeper into our Sunday sermons. If you are watching us, you are thinking, hey guys, there is somebody missing. Yep. And what are you sitting at? Because it's a very different setting. So I have the privilege of just talking with Pastor David this week, and I'm excited. I recently have heard that a good podcast is a podcast where there's a fun relationship between the people talking, and we have a good relationship. I am very honored to call you my partner in crime.
Yes, that's right.
And so I'm thrilled to be doing this. So we are in 2 Timothy.
Yes.
And is this our third week?
Yeah, this will be part three. Yeah.
Okay.
And we were bummed we missed the podcast last week.
Yes, super bummed.
Because of just all the other stuff going on, the big announcement in the church and everything. So exciting to get back into it because it's such a cool series. As we keep looking forward to it, every one of them just is looking just to be a great time together.
Mm-hmm. And so we started with just sharing with people who Timothy is, that this is a pastoral epistle as opposed just to a normal epistle. So Timothy was a pastor in a church in Ephesus?
Pastor in Ephesus, a spiritual leader, you know, appointed in this situation. And so as Paul's writing to him, and that's one thing is that if you look at 2 Timothy, it's probably, I think at least, one of the greatest like leadership letters that you get. Because what you have is you got Paul as a leader writing to Timothy, who's also a leader, right? Like pastor writing to pastor, encouraging and specifically trying to say, all right, in light of what's happening in your church, in light of what's happening in the culture around you, here's what you need to do. And so it's really cool because as you get into this, there's like very specific things from a leadership standpoint. And sometimes we're kind of, and we're going to run into one of those texts today to where there's a command to Timothy that's a specific maybe more of a leadership type command. And then we also look at it and we're going to say, but what does this mean for us in the body of Christ? Because it's there's still a solid thing there for us, but the specific command is more, that's a leadership one. Then what does it mean for the rest of us? So we run to that in 2 Timothy sometimes.
So last week we were really challenged and we didn't get to talk about the whole do not be ashamed. And I thought Parker did such a great job saying why we're ashamed.
Yeah, that was really good.
That we are social creatures.
Why the gospel is offensive.
Okay. Yeah. So then this week you are going to be doing like all of those strong verbs telling us what we need to do.
Yeah.
So
that's, when we first started going through 2 Timothy, I think this time as I read through it, one of the things that really jumped out to me is how aggressive Paul is with his language. And we see one of those in where he says in verse 8 with Parker had, do not be ashamed as he keeps going and the fact that he's not ashamed. And so we're coming out of this tension of dealing with kind of shame centered around the gospel, centered around the testimony of who God is, who Jesus is and what he has done. And now he's going to come in and he's going to get, he's giving these like really hard, they're almost the exact same command spoken in different ways about, and he starts out in verse 13, hold on to the pattern of sound teaching, guard the good deposit of the Holy Spirit that's in you. And so now he's starting to address this tension that Timothy is dealing with here in the church of Ephesus, which is centered around false teaching that's actually happening within the church. Like there's things going on even within the church that they're having to wrestle through themselves to make sure that Timothy holds on to the pattern of, and that's why I think he uses this word sound teaching. Like he's not just hold on to the teaching. He's trying to make that distinction. You got to hold on to that consistent thing that you've heard.
And is the sound, because I'm trying to remember, and I need to just find the verse. Is the sound teaching specifically about the person of Jesus? Or do we not know what doctrine is being?
We don't see a lot of it specifically addressed in the letter.
Okay.
So there's speculation to potentially what was going on there in Ephesus. There's hints at different things that were going on in 1 Timothy. I think there's hints to things that he was addressing. I think chapter 2 does a really good job. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, looking at things that were specifically attached to the specific temple and idol worship that was taking place in Ephesus. I'm sure that tension is still there as well. And I think what you get, and we wrestle with this today, what you're getting is you're getting the fact that people are growing up, you know, the people in Ephesus have become Christians, are growing up, and they have this teaching that they're kind of blending together, and they got this gospel, they've been grained with secular culture, and then people are resisting, or they want to hold on to these things right here, but this Christianity thing is kind of cool, and it begins to, we lose sound teaching. We lose the foundation of what brought us to Christ to begin with.
And I think I know a lot of the ladies at church were doing the He's Where the Joy Is, yeah. and we're studying the Trinity specifically. I know, which I think is super cool. There's another girl group doing that, so I think that's really fun that you
all the guys in our group are doing it. Yeah.
So, but as we're doing that, and that is so my heartbeat with these ladies is just sound teaching to understand who Jesus is. So I saw some similarities as I was, you know, going through this. I think of Paul being in prison, and he definitely knows that Timothy needs to be encouraged. But I wonder, as he's there and he's alone and he's probably realizing this is it, I am probably going to lose my life for what I stand for, what I believe, who I choose to love. If there was any encouragement for him, if the letter blessed him. And and I wonder that because specifically I had the privilege of talking to someone this week who needed to hear the truth of who she was in Christ and the love that God has for her. And I felt myself being encouraged and built up as I was speaking the truth to someone who was wavering. Yeah. And so I just find my, you know me, I'm always in my head trying to figure things out.
I appreciate that. Well, I definitely feel that every time I teach.
Okay.
Like I feel that, you know, you're preaching yourself at the same time you're preaching. I think one of the areas that I think that jumps out to me a lot also in my life is I do a lot of either marriage or pre-marriage counseling with a lot of couples. And so there is so much I often will go home after I've done some counseling and just feel that extra encouragement myself to like, you know, like, oh yeah, this is a core thing, David, you know this, how are you doing at that? And I feel both encouraged or challenged to keep going, you know, like to hold on and stay fast. And so it's one of the things I like at doing in pre-marriage counseling is I often feel that, that refreshment and that encouragement too.
Oh, that's cool. So our first, I think, strong verb is hold on.
Yes.
And so the word picture, I love when I'm sitting with you guys during our service development time. And my brain is always thinking in comics or thinking in something. I don't know what. So when I think of being told to hold on, I think so oftentimes as Christians, as opposed to holding on and knowing this is what we need to hold on to, we almost treat the gospel like it's a hot potato and we just need to get rid of it, like throw it away because we're going to get burned. And so as you were talking, I was like, oh, I think we play more hot potato than we play. And not like I'm sharing my potato with you, like get rid of it.
Yeah, it's like this.
I don't want to be caught with it because I'm going to lose the game if I'm holding it.
Right. Yeah. No. I hear what you're saying. That like there's something explosive that if I'm, you know, I believe it and I like it, but I'm not sure I want to be the one that has to really own it or defend it. And I think sometimes though, I think that's because people feel inadequate.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an element of that's just natural insecurity. It's not necessarily the tension of shame that Paul's potentially talking about, as we see in the previous verses that he's warning Timothy against. And and actually it comes back in here again as well, is this, I think that's one of the reasons he's really challenging him to hold on, not because in shame we begin to feel the peer pressure. Shame really challenges to want to compromise. And then Paul gets into these next verses. Right after he says, hold on to sound teaching and guard what God has given you, he goes in and tells a story about these two guys that abandoned him because it looks like they were ashamed of him. They were ashamed of the fact that he was in prison. He says that in verse 8 as well. He says, don't be ashamed of me or of the Lord or me as a prisoner. And I imagine Paul's reflecting on his own personal hurt and his own, maybe he's wrestling with shame. If people have abandoned him because now he looks like damaged goods in the Christian world, then I'm sure there's this element of now Timothy is probably feeling that same pressure. Whatever they abandoned him for, whatever that thing was that Paul wouldn't compromise on, that maybe was that thing that finally got him in that situation or he thinks put him in that situation, he probably sees Timothy wrestling with that too. And he's saying, don't let these relationships cause you to compromise what you know is true.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's also sweet. I mean, I think I'm correct in thinking that there are two gentlemen that he abandoned Paul, but then I'm not even going to try to pronounce the names. So someone else do that. So two gentlemen that abandon him, but then he also speaks highly of another gentleman. And so, but in both situations, you can't keep your eyes on your friends. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. So I think it's interesting, though, that he does play both sides of the deck there.
Well, I think that's an important thing, and I'll talk about this in my message. But as I was looking at this, one of the things that just jumped out on me, and as I was praying through it, I just could not shake and was telling the team in our meeting this week that I just really feel like kind of a Holy Spirit burning to come back to it, is how often we see people that question their faith, they wrestle with the church. They wrestle mm-hmm. with God, with staying a part of the church because what happened to Paul happens to them. Mm-hmm. There's someone in the church, because I mentioned this message, but what's so interesting is Paul's got these guys that abandoned him, but it's interesting, he doesn't say that they abandoned the faith. It says
that
they abandoned him. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, an important distinction, because and we know even in the book of Philippians, Paul talks about people that are sharing the gospel mm-hmm. out of spite for him. Mm-hmm. Like, their motives are bad. They don't like Paul. They don't like maybe they don't like the fact of being in prison. Maybe they don't like the fact that mm-hmm. He's very popular. Like, who knows what this real tension was. And so here we got this guy, Paul. As much as we can look at, and Parker talked about last week, how much suffering he potentially endured because mm-hmm. of his faith to outsiders. Now mm-hmm. he's starting to tell his real stories to his friend. Mm-hmm. Like, you remember those guys, like, they abandoned me. Like, I was in my hour of need. I was hurting. Mm-hmm. I was struggling. And they just completely rejected me and what I was mm-hmm. going through. I mean, I think these are the type of pains that cause a lot of people mm-hmm. to walk away from the church. And then it comes back to what you said. Yeah. What do we really have faith in, though?
Right. It needs to not be our people. But yes, I do think you're right. So many people do walk away because they've been hurt by other people. Yeah. So as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, as I've done a little bit of research on Paul, it sounds like Paul was a pretty intense dude. So pretty intense. Yeah. And it sounds like Timothy was a pretty timid dude. And mm-hmm. that would be us.
So, that is funny.
So you are the intense dude, and I would be the timid one.
Hilarious.
But how beautiful it is that it was Paul's intensity that was coming in and loving his timid friend. Mm. Because I think so often the intense is intense. You know what I mean? Yeah. And mm-hmm. you know, so anyway, I thought, wow, we're sitting here.
That is, what did I could that be come like, to you? That come to you just now?
Like, just right now, oh, might so have been good. Like, you know, that's, except that's for funny. I am the older one. So Timothy yeah. was the younger one. But I do find that it's like, wow, because I'm sure there were times that Paul's, didn't he have a relationship that was estranged? Like,
he even parted ways with people he was doing ministry
and
with.
So yep. could mm-hmm. that have been his intensity? I mean, we don't know, but it's
He was definitely a man, I think, of deep mm-hmm. conviction,
right.
deep passion, and intensity. Intense yep. when he
And who wrote more it. Books of the Bible.
Right.
You know? So there you have it, my intense friend.
Yes, that's good. So, wow, so I've never felt that intensity be a compliment like that
no,
before.
I'm totally complimenting you on the intensity. So we've got the hold on. We've got the guard.
Yeah.
In both of those verbs, it seems like, just pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Do it yourself. We know that's not true because we need the Holy Spirit to do those things. And I think you are going to, we had talked about that a little bit in preaching team too.
Yeah, because it's a duality of our part and God's part.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. where God has this promise, he's like, I will never let go of you. Mm-hmm. And yet we have a responsibility to hold on
right.
mm-hmm. as well. And I think that's a, it's weird because we can't hold on our own strength. It's mm-hmm. that, it's that really tough tension of, and I talked about this in week one, kind of that spiritual fire. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine, with what Timothy's going through, whatever all this is, we know this is like pouring that cold water mm-hmm. onto his spiritual fire. Mm-hmm. And so even as he's saying, hold on to this sound teaching, he says how to do it in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Like, he's mm-hmm. bringing them back to this reliance. I think the basics of what you know, what you've seen God do, mm-hmm. your love for Christ, Christ's love for you. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big challenge in here is go back to those basic things mm-hmm. when you're holding on.
I think that
on.
Verse you just said was the one that made me wonder if some of the sound doctrine was around Jesus, because he's talking about holding on to what you have in Christ Jesus.
Well, I love how he says in faith. Mm-hmm. Like, it's this measure of how you're going to accomplish this. Mm-hmm. In order to hold on, it's got to be rooted in this faith and this love that come in who Christ Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And it always reminds me of, you know, the book of Revelation with the challenge of to the church that you've forgotten your first love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what that's what the challenge of the church was, is that they were letting go of that. Mm-hmm. Their passion, their dedication was shifting. And whenever our passion and love for Jesus seems to shift, mm-hmm. then our passion for truth will shift. Mm-hmm. Because when we hold on to Jesus, we want to hold on to who he really is. But if we're not really holding on to Jesus as much, we are going to be more willing to compromise mm-hmm. who he is or who people say he is. And there was this... I was reading a book recently, and he was telling a story. He's a seminary professor, and he was talking to all these students, and he was asking the question, so who's define God, mm-hmm. essentially what he was saying, and got to one of the students. One of the students began to say, it's like, well, to me, God is this, and I like to see he's this guy who kind of just sees my who I am, but he's kind of cool with it, and and he kind of just goes on, and the professor was like, he is processing what to respond. He's like, well, thank you for now telling me who you are. And who you wish God would be in light of your personality.
Oh, that's good.
Now, let's go to God's word and see who he says he is. And I think that's, if there's probably a challenge against our sound teaching the most in our world today, as we kind of often tell people, it's your personal truth. Mm-hmm. You define who you are. Right. What we begin to do is say, well, then I get to define who God is. Mm-hmm. Because we want to define a God that's comfortable with who I am. Because I'm being told by the world around me, this is fine. I just should just be comfortable, whatever it is. Don't let other people tell me anything about me is bad. I should just be comfortable with this and shouldn't have to be challenged with this. And so then what we do is we find what we want to be comfortable with about who we are, and we create a God in our mind that is comfortable. And in doing that, though, we're going to break away from sound teaching.
Absolutely.
Because it's no longer about who God is. The God in the story now is me.
Right.
Because it's centered on who I am.
Which at the end of the day, I can't imagine that's comfortable. I mean, like you, when you're laying in bed at night, realizing I should not be anybody's God, you know? So
I don't think we realize it, though.
Okay. Like,
I think that's how we get to that spot is, you know, even that young man in that class, he was surrounded by other people that were talking about God. Mm-hmm. I don't think he had a realization. I think it's
so subtle.
I think that's probably, again, if we know the context of Ephesus, we see a context from 1 Timothy and what Paul's coming and writing back to again, the subtleness of how secular culture was coming in more and more to the church and to the teaching. It's in the perversion of wanting to accept this, you have to pervert the sound teaching. You have to pervert the gospel because these things are, as Parker talked about, they're so incompatible. Mm-hmm. To make this become comfortable, I have to change what is true. Okay. And that's what he's coming back to. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
So my brain is thinking we could do a ton of things. I loved the faithful deny that we talked about. We also could talk about in the suffering, the athlete, the farmer, and the soldier. Well,
faith and deny is next week's message.
Okay. Well, that is next week.
Next week's message.
See, I've got them all mixed up. Yeah, that's the hard part.
I know. So, okay. But no, I think that's really good. Like, I think one of the things that I want to hit this real quick before we get to that next part.
Okay.
After he's done talking about the story of the friends that abandoned him and all that, and he comes back to him again.
So what verse are you talking about?
Chapter 2, verse 1.
Okay.
He has a second set of great verbs here. He says, be strong, right? So here's another one. He's like, hold on, guard, and now be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus.
Be strong, yeah.
And what you have heard in my presence. So he's coming back to this sound teaching, right? Mm-hmm. And many witnesses. And then this next word, commit.
Oh, yes.
But what he says is commit to faithful men or faithful people, depending on your translation, who will be able to teach. And this is one of those verses where pastor to pastor, right, is like, make sure you pass this on to others who also are teachers and able to pass it on. But I was thinking, like, so what does this mean for us as a body of Christ? If you're not, like, in that role of teacher necessarily, what does this look like? And I went back to, I got to make sure I pull up the right verse here because I want to make sure I get it. But to Colossians chapter 3, and it says it like this. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Then he says this, teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. And although Timothy has this command as a pastor and how he's to develop other teachers, develop other leaders, I think there's a direct application of that. I think there's still this principle that we are to be committed to teaching each other, reminding each other the truth of who God is. I need to keep coming back to you and coming back to this pattern of sound teaching. When I see, if I think you might be deviating at all, if I think the secular world might be coming in, I gotta love you enough to be willing to commit to not letting you compromise that and bringing you back to that sound teaching.
Which I know we always come back to that, but God gave us brothers and sisters for a reason. As I am part of that, I've told you that I'm taking that EFCA class prepared. So training women in leadership, which is super fun. And I can tell that I've even revolted against the word mentor and leader because I think I've seen people become plastic when they feel like they're a leader. Mm-hmm. But I'm realizing, no, those are not necessarily bad words. So I'm growing, David. I'm definitely growing. But one thing that they talk about specifically in male and female relationships, brothers and sisters, is seeing one another as sacred siblings.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
so
great.
I just think that's such a beautiful term that I loved. And so I think of our grow groups and being sacred siblings as we're doing this and that as we're holding one another to the truth of the teaching that we see here. So I know we've kind of coined better together as a team and as a church. And so my heartbeat for our grow group people would be that we are sacred siblings and we are doing just exactly what you said as we're coming together, as our women are studying together as, so that's my new word.
No, I think that's, okay. I think that's great. In fact, I would challenge grow groups. This probably won't get a lot of time in the message this week. It's just not the focus where, as we get to this next half, which I'll focus more on, but I think it'd be worth grow groups is just, how do you think we're doing at this tension of committing to each other, like to be teaching and challenging each other? Mm-hmm. How do you think we're doing at holding each other to guard and be strong when we see false teaching kind of creeping in? I think that would be a great kind of question to wrestle through and be challenged with.
So far, I've not really wrestled with, you know, hold on. That was our first, right? And guard and commit. Those are all great words. Endure suffering. Yeah, no. Those are not, that's not some action words that do we have another word in there too?
Well, what's verse 3 for you in your translation?
Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier.
So mine says share in suffering, but along with me. Like it's coming back to that relationship dynamic
again.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
One thing I really appreciated about this is share in it. Mm-hmm. It's this idea of like that we're going to do this. We got to do this together. Like this is a natural part of our Christian life, but we should see all of this tension. If there's anything that makes somebody want to give up, it's when they're alone.
Exactly.
Compromise. Mm-hmm. If there's anything that makes you feel weak and not strong enough to hold on, it's when you're alone. Mm-hmm. But when you're able to see you're in it together no matter what, I think that really helps.
Well, and now you're going to laugh at me because something I used to do is I am trained to be a doula. And so I had the privilege of sitting with women in labor. And so what they have learned medically is if a woman has another woman with her, her need for pain medicine even goes down because you're looking at someone who understands what you're going through. I see that and endure suffering along with me.
That's crazy. I just read something today and it was talking about, they did a case study they had three people together endure something painful. They actually had them like hold their hand in icy cold water for as long, like all three of them together. Then they had three people that didn't have to do anything together. And then they gave them a project to do. And the ones that all had to suffer together the pain until they couldn't bear it anymore were more efficient, were more united, and were a natural better team, even though they were all strangers when they met, than the three.
Imagine that God knows that.
Yeah, you were wired share in that together. And I just read that today, so it's not even in my notes, so that might also show up in the message, because that is a powerful picture of why sharing is so important.
Absolutely. No, that's really good. But back to my point, I don't like the suffering part of these verbs. And so I think these... like a soldier.
Yeah, these next pictures he gives us.
They are good pictures. Mm-hmm. So,
I really like these pictures. As I said in them more and more, I was pretty. They're simple. Like you could spend a lot of time on them, but you don't necessarily need to. Mm-hmm. I think it's also this. Mm-hmm. I think this would be great for grow groups to just to go at each of these and look at what it's saying. How am I doing at that part? Mm-hmm. And I think he's actually talking about how we share in suffering. This is how we get this. So he says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. And then what does he say in verse 4? Because no one serving as a soldier gets entangled with the concerns of civilian life. Mm-hmm. I love that picture right there. No one that's committed, no one that's, even though it's really hard, the way you keep yourself on mission, you don't get entangled with all the stuff going on around you. For us believers.
Because if you did, you would lose the battle. I mean, it's like death to not. Yeah.
And for us believers, I think when he says civilian life, I think he's saying anything outside the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. We cannot be consumed with whatever the world is telling us should be our focus. I even go back to this legacy of faith member from a couple weeks ago. I think as parents, we have to be so focused to not let everything that our kids are being told should be their focus. Okay. Sports and clubs and programs and traveling and games and whatever. None of these are inherently bad, mm-hmm. but he's saying a good soldier doesn't become so entangled in these things that they cause them to neglect mm-hmm. the life that God's called them to. And I mean, Amy and I are processing that just with one son. I can't imagine all the temptation that that is for parents, but I think we have to take this first piece so seriously. If there's one of any of these that I think we easily compromise on in the church, it's probably entangled with civilian life. Mm-hmm. We tend to say, but it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. But that's what all the other kids mm-hmm. are doing. How are they going to get far in life? Mm-hmm. And then we entangle our kids, and then they don't really know what it means to really mm-hmm. be sold out to follow
right.
Christ.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it'll be great because this week they'll also see Lisa's video on the parenting conference that totally speaks to what you just said.
Oh,
and
yes. That's really good.
We should be eating M&M's right now.
Yes, yes. So the parenting conference plug really quick.
Yes.
Man, watch Lisa's video on it. Mm-hmm. Parents, grow groups with kids. Mm-hmm. Go together. Go to this.
My challenge is to those of us who have grow groups without children. We need to be committed to helping with childcare so we can make this possible for our moms and dads.
Yes, that's going to be huge. That was your commercial break.
Yes, there we go. There we go. So I wrestle a little bit, I think of Todd, who was a soldier, who can probably relate to this. That's not part of my DNA. There's not an athletic bone in my body.
So the next one
I wrestle with, and I've not done a lot of farming. So I really wish God would have chosen a different analogy. But is there one there for you that really stands out?
One of the things kind of cool is that he's not, I don't think he's making the same point three times. He's making three separate points with three separate images, I think.
Okay, tell me
because,
what you
again,
think.
With a soldier, I think it's not getting tangled.
Okay.
With the things of this life that rob us from staying focused on the mission that God has on us, from what should be priority.
And I just see endure.
I could totally see that. Yeah.
Okay.
The next one. Okay. He says, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Okay. I think the mistake that we might do is this. We might just jump over to Hebrews 12 and be we run the race, going for mm-hmm. the prize. Mm-hmm. But the emphasis I think he has on here is, yes, there's a prize available to us. But I think that's secondary to the main point he's making. In order to get the prize, we compete according to the rules.
Okay.
It's an emphasis on saying, again, it's an analogy, but it's saying God has called us to a very specific life. Mm-hmm. To say, I want to experience a joy in my life with Christ, both now, but also for eternity. Mm-hmm. But then say, but I'm not really going to live the life God's called me to. I really don't. That's not as big of a deal for me. Mm-hmm. I think is where potentially, now again, I think a big theme in this is compromise. Okay. Endure is right, right? It's endure the suffering, but he's mm-hmm. also making sure don't compromise. Hold on to the sound teaching. Don't let your guard down. Don't compromise. Don't let someone come in and take what belongs to you. Be strong. Don't let someone come in and rob this from you. And so as he's coming into this tension of the athlete, the emphasis I think is on, if you want this reward, if you want this blessing, if this life that we're called to, you've got to do it according to the way God designed it. I mean, think about any sports. You got to stay in balance.
Yeah. Okay. So the first one with the soldiers, you're seeing don't get caught up in civilian mm-hmm. life. And the second one with the athlete, play by the rules. So what do you see then in the farmer?
So the farmer, hardworking farmer, ought to be first to get the share of the crops. Consider what I say. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding. So verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of his crops. So there's two things I see in here.
Okay.
One, he doesn't just say farmer.
Okay. He says hardworking farmer. Yep.
I will definitely hit this in the message because if there's something I know I was never meant to do,
is farming.
And that is to be a farmer.
Okay.
Yes. I can't even keep grass alive in my yard, right? Okay. This is I was never meant to be that guy. And I have a brother-in-law who's a farmer, and the life he lives, how hard it is, I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't ever take a break. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember we went over to their house for Thanksgiving one year. it didn't change the chores you had to do. Mm-hmm. It didn't change the work you had to do. But, and I think you came up with this beautiful picture I thought was kind of cool, but you get to be the first to share in your crops.
Right.
Even our dairy farmer friend, John Schaller.
Yeah.
So when John's son, Cam, we used to come to the young adults group, singles group back in the day, he would bring over like gallons of milk that were fresh, like pure. Mm-hmm. This is straight up. Nothing's messed with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, those that did the hard work get to share. Mm-hmm. They get to experience and reap the joy that comes with that. And so I think now he's reminding us it's hard, but the reward is so good. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to stick. Yes, you cannot be distracted by all these things. Yes, you can't. You gotta stick with what God has laid out. Yes, that can be hard to do. Mm-hmm. You know, like, again, what makes a team lose a football game awesome? Often it's a team with the most penalties. Those that don't play the way they're supposed to, don't have the discipline to pay by the rules. Mm-hmm. When they break the rule, it costs them. It usually will cost them a game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's his warning here for us. And then the same thing, but yet, now with the farmer analogy, yeah, it's hard. Mm-hmm. But look what you get, this mm-hmm. blessing that God gives us.
Yeah, you definitely wrung more out of it than I see. And I think you're right. So I saw endure. And then I saw, they have to fight another battle. Mm-hmm. Denny Hoskins is a good friend of ours. He just keeps training for races. The races come over and over again. And we eat all the food and you have to grow the crops again next year. So not in a, and I usually am the positive Pollyanna one, but I saw like, we just have to keep, does that make sense? Like you just, like these things keep happening this side of eternity. There's more work to be done, you know?
I think it's a good example. I think mm-hmm. one of the reasons our minds do that, this is totally mm-hmm. a side note off of the message, mm-hmm. but something that sometimes when we've heard an analogy elsewhere in scripture, mm-hmm. we assume as I hear the analogy, it must be the exact same analogy in this section mm-hmm. of scripture. So our mind just defaults. Oh, it's a farmer. This must be maybe about seeds.
Right,
because mm-hmm. we know the parable of the sower, or mm-hmm. it's a runner. Oh, it must be about the prize,
right?
You know, or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. Where his emphasis here is how we're running the race, following the rules, mm-hmm. and what's interesting also here, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Anyone who competes as an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There's actually no runner in here. Mm-hmm. It's just athlete. I was even reading
Isn't that all they did there?
No, they're pretty cool. I've studied some of the games that they did and stuff. They did mm-hmm. some pretty intense, even violent games sometimes.
Yes,
so
that is true.
Yes, but mm-hmm. to get that crown. So mm-hmm. I think that's just a good warning for us is it's not just what does it mean to be a soldier of Christ, right? And this mm-hmm. is not an image of the armor of God he's given us. Don't get distracted by the mm-hmm. things that everyone else who's not a real soldier does and mm-hmm. how they live.
And so right here, what we're doing and talking about this, mm-hmm. we are doing the teaching and holding each other to truth.
That's right.
And so that's really cool.
And that's exactly what Grow Groups. Mm-hmm. So as you go through this, especially mm-hmm. as we get in 2 Timothy, I think there's going to be so many pieces mm-hmm. Like this that take time to unpack but again, don't just try and tell us what it means, mm-hmm. which is kind of what we're doing a little bit, mm-hmm. but then go to the next level. But what does this mean to my life?
Right.
What area of my life have I allowed the civilian world to mm-hmm. entangle me? What rules do I really struggle with wanting to really submit to follow God?
And where am I not working hard?
And where am I not working, right? Like just do that alone.
No. Wow, we're writing our Grow Group questions right here. This is great. Well, we probably need to be done.
Yeah,
I apologize because I think we miss something you wanted to cover?
No, it was
so
great.
So we did it all. So this was super fun.
It was a lot of fun.
So we might not let anyone come back.
I am debating.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Have a great week. Bye-bye.